You're listening to Tachyon TV. My name is Gary Russell, and I'm currently suing them.
Hello, and welcome once again to Tachyon TV. A little bit of a break in normal routine this week. We're actually live at the Stockton Convention, Dimensions in Time, this weekend, which is November 11th and 12th. And we're actually going to be podcasting the whole event over the 2 days. So you don't really need to put a DVD in, but if you feel inclined, you can put in Tommy Lee Wallace's Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, 1982. The appropriateness will come in time. And if you hit play now.
So here we are at Stockton, Dimensions upon Tees.
Dimensions in Time, I think.
Is it?
Dimensions upon Tees.
And we've got the ultimate tease with us today. It's Scooty.
Scooty. Now, Scooty's already had a copy of the fanzine. How did it go down?
She folded it in half and flung it across the room as hard as she possibly could.
So they threw the fanzine across the room like chimps throwing their own shit.
It's true. You know that at the end of today's interview, they're actually going to eject her into space. They've set up a vacuum just off the Stockton bypass.
Otherwise known as the widest high street in Europe.
The highlights of last night involved Ian Fairbairn, whatever he's called. He's getting on a bit. He was strolling around in a bewildered state, constantly shouting to anybody who would listen, "I'm 75, you know, and I had a terrible journey. I was stuck on York Station for an hour and a half."
Now, Damon, you made a slight faux pas, didn't you, by giving Colin Baker a copy of the fanzine? That was a bit of a mistake in retrospect, wasn't it?
Not really. He seemed to quite enjoy it.
We told him it was made of rice paper and he ate it.
Sean, how do you think it's going so far?
I think it's going very well. I am concerned about Colin.
So we're going to have to be quiet now because we're going to be joined by Scooty. I believe she's coming on with a copy of the fanzine under her arm.
That's fantastic.
And Rory Jennings as well, apparently.
Under her arm.
Under her arm. Well, he's very young.
So it's 9:30 and we haven't been kicked out yet. You join us here now at 10:30 at Dimensions on Tees, and it's all gone a bit pear-shaped.
Well, we've just received a critical mauling to great popular acclaim, I have to say, from Colin Baker, the Sixth Doctor.
We're still in shock.
I'm trembling.
Can you tell us how it unfolded?
Well, we were joking that Colin might not have liked our fanzine, but then he went into great detail about some blithering idiot walked up to him and offered him a fanzine. I think he must have been talking about Damon rather than me. At which point he accused us of being parasites, undergraduate humour, and that if we didn't like the programme, we should just f*** off.
The crowd then rose to their feet as one.
Cheering, baying, and one of them actually lit a burning torch.
So, what's the plan now for giving out the fanzine?
Well, I'm going to leave some in the toilet.
On a nail.
Oh, that was horrific. Damon's actually in shock.
I'm still shaking. It was terrible. My worst nightmare come true.
Could have been worse. It could have been a good doctor. We have some witnesses from Rhubarb. Bob Fisher, what did you think about what unfurled?
I didn't see anything and I don't know any of you people whatsoever.
To be fair, though, to look on the bright side, we were humiliated for 10 minutes. He had 2 whole years. Is the bar open?
Hi, I'm just going to go and talk to Graham here. Hi, Graham.
Where are you from? BBC Radio.
No.
It's not television, because I'm camera shy.
Don't worry, there's no cameras around.
Sorry, what do you want?
I want to know, where did you get that lightsaber?
From Newcastle, Eldon Square, because I'm just from up the road. Because I live in Teesside. I live in Teesside, like I said. Well, I always go to Newcastle to get these things. You're getting out of spot down here. Listen to this. Are you ready for this?
Okay, go for it.
I'll listen to this. Yeah. That's actually massive. That was actually constructed for Revenge of the Sith, that one, right?
Okay.
But it was never used, so they remodified it into a 90-quid toy. But these are not for kids, these are for adults.
It's certainly an incredible piece of work.
That's right, it is, yeah, and it's quite safe. And it's massive, it's just the payable one. And tomorrow I'm bringing in Darth Vader's. Sounds creepy, that one.
I was going to ask you about that. You are actually bringing a second lightsaber.
Tomorrow, yeah, it's Darth Vader's. But like I said, provided I'm not caught on camera, but audio only, yeah.
Audio only is all we're dealing.
Yeah, like I said, no TV pictures. I don't want to be on TV.
Don't worry, there's no TV involved.
Only audio for me, thank you.
Can I ask you, what colour is tomorrow's lightsaber?
Red.
Red?
By Darth Vader, which is a criminal offence in the Jedi Order. It's only a Sith weapon.
The red is illegal?
In the Jedi Order, yes.
I didn't know that, right.
Okay.
This was used by Master Windu, played by Sam Jackson, in Attack of the Clones. And he used it in Revenge of the Sith, even more close-up than the previous one. But as you might recall, he tackled Lord Sidious the Devil and lost, didn't he? But Master Windu was victorious because he left his filthy, ugly face open by that window, didn't he? And left it open for future reference to be destroyed. So in a sense, Master Windu did win Revenge of the Sith. He gave his life. That's what he did in the performance of his duty and partly won.
On that note, thanks very much, Graham. Speak to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Damon's actually quite upset. It has to be said, I'm not making this up.
I do feel quite bad about the whole affair. I regret drinking so much alcohol last night that we gave Mr. Colin Baker, whom I just want to make clear, I've always adored.
Sir Colin Baker.
Sir Colin Baker. I adore him. I think everything he's been in is brilliant, including The Brothers.
Was he in The Brothers?
Yeah. But on the upside, we have actually given Colin Baker another 20 years' worth of convention material where he can talk about this experience that he had last night.
Hi, excuse me, Mr. Time Lord. Can I have a few words? So, who are you today?
Lord President of the High Council of the Time Lords.
OK, and what's that job like? Do you have to be re-elected at periodic intervals?
No, you're named by the predecessor and you carry on until such time as you name a successor.
Do you have midterm elections?
This is not America.
So Gallifrey's not like the American system. It's not a bicameral sort of House of Congress.
Gallifrey doesn't exist.
Gallifrey doesn't exist?
No.
Can you explain that a little bit further?
It was destroyed in the Time War.
Of course. But is he alone?
Well, the Doctor's around, so no, is the answer to that. There are quite a few Time Lords out there. The Master, the Rani.
You think they're still around?
Oh, yes. The Rani wouldn't go back to save Gallifrey, nor would the Monk.
I suppose it's an interesting question whose side they were on in the Time War.
They would have stayed clear of it. They would have known and they would have stayed clear.
I wonder what the kind of like the boundaries of the Time War were in sort of physical space terms. Which planet would you need to be on to avoid the Time War, I wonder?
Well, Earth would have been to survive.
That's very true. They didn't even know it was happening. That's true. Thank you very much, Mr. Time.
More than welcome.
Your Lord President, I should say.
We've got another witness here at the convention. You were there and you saw Colin Lambaster. So what did you think?
I thought it was pretty embarrassing, especially when everyone stood up and with a standing ovation at the end, which is quite impressive. Not probably what you would have hoped for.
How are we feeling now?
I'm insulated by about 6 points of beer. The shock is receding, like my hair. It's very cold in Stockton. It's too busy. We can't get a seat, so we've had to come down to the hotel lobby, which is not a place I would normally come to of a Saturday. A lobby of a hotel in Stockton. I feel a bit like John Pertwee's Doctor, exiled from his normal habitat. So sadly, my face hasn't changed. But we do have some Rhubarbians with us. The one who I'm looking at the moment is called Paul Lockwood, possibly, or maybe his name's Mark. Mark, what are your first impressions of the Dimensions convention?
I think it's absolutely fabulous that I have met Daphne Ashbrook, and she's my biggest fan.
Well, can you give us the details of your conversation with her?
I said, hello, Daphne, and she said, get away from me and stop rifling through my drawers.
Her actual drawers? We'll leave that one unanswered. We also have the creator of the Quatermass website, which is a wonderful piece of work. Co-creator. Junior co-founder. Do you have epaulets to denote your your rank in that? So, tell us about the Quatermass website.
www.quatermass.org.uk and just go.
And can you tell us a bit more about the site than that? That's where it is. What's on it?
Well, you see, it's a website about Quatermass.
It's 5:05 and kindly we had another witness to today's Colin Baker debacles come up. And what did you think of Colin Baker's comments about our fanzine?
I thought it was quite interesting at the end of the day, but he seemed a bit miffed about it. Don't know why. But at least you got a nice bit of publicity out of it. What more do you ask for?
It's 5:20, it's been a long day. We've just been joined by Bob Fisher and he's seen something quite incredible.
Yes, I've just been sitting in at Daphne Ashbrook's panel, and who should I see in front of me but Andrew Pixley and his lovely wife giggling furiously at the article, Your Own Personal Pixley, in the Tachyon TV fanzine.
Yay!
It's all turned round, hasn't it, John?
You can tell he's a professional broadcaster, can't you?
It's all turned round.
It's turned round. It's catastrophe theory. We flipped round, withdrew the other side, and we've had someone come up to us and ask us to sign the fanzine because we caused a bit of controversy.
The only problem was it was Colin Baker's lawyer.
It's sensationally controversial.
Oh, and all's well that ends well.
On record anyway that we just had a wonderful conversation with Andrew Pixley. And he's a charming man, and he's wonderful. And in fact, I love him.
Let's leave it there before we're sued by him as well. More updates after more drinks. Okay, it's 9:25 on a Sunday, and we're waiting for the panel with Philip Hinchcliffe, Eric Saywood, and Graham Harper. But just on the way here, something rather strange happened, didn't it, Sean?
Well, it was a little bit disturbing, Neil, yeah, because we were just tootling along in your wife's car, as we normally do, and suddenly both of us exclaimed, "Look, there's Philip Hinchcliffe," and he was heading away from the hotel. And he seemed to be unsure as to his final destination. He seemed to be heading towards a large ship on the other side of the road. I'm not sure if this is a result of working on some rather classic Gothic serials more than 30 years ago.
I think it reminds him of the ship that brought him to Whitby.
Do you think so? He did look a little bit pale this morning. So whether there was no black pudding on the breakfast menu, or they overcooked his steak last night, I'm not too sure.
I'm surprised he didn't burst into flames.
Morning. Yes, I've just come down in a lift with Eric Saywood, Philip Hinchcliffe and Graham Harper, and overheard a snippet of conversation. Hinchcliffe said, "Which doctor did you work? When were you on the programme?" And Saywood said, 8:21 to 8:25. He said, "So which doctors were you involved in?" He said, "Davison and Baker." He went, "Colin Baker." And he said, "Yes." He said, "But you did most of Davison's stories." He said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "Do you see him much?" This is Hinchcliffe to say, "Well, do you see Davison much?" And so he said, "No, I haven't seen him for ages. I haven't seen anybody for ages."
Well, I'm talking to Graham here about Nigel Neal. He's just learnt of his passing away, and you've got some interesting thoughts about Nigel Neal, haven't you, Graham?
I have to be honest, yeah. My name's Graham from Teesside. Now, Nigel, though, the only thing I remember Nigel Neal for is writing the original script for Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, in 1982. However, right, when he passed the script on to John Carpenter, right, John Carpenter enjoyed it, but John Carpenter ordered Tommy Lee Wallace, to rewrite it, because John Carpenter said that Nigel Neal's script was supposedly a comedy and far too big budget. So as a result, Tommy Lee Wallace toned the script down and made it cheaper and made it more down-to-earth science fiction. Kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but Halloween 3 finally ended up in the final cut as androids in human form, and about a toy maker who's out to kill every child in the United States of America as part of a Halloween sacrifice. But I still think that the final edit of Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, 1982, does own a debt even more to Nigel Neal.
So you think it's better than Quatermass?
Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, is my second favourite of the Halloween series.
What's your favourite Halloween film?
Halloween Resurrection, 2002. I saw it 3 times at the pictures. But Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, is my second favourite. Because, right, I know it does not involve Michael Myers and it has no connection with the other films, but it is a good science fiction, down-to-earth movie about androids and a crazy toy maker, Conal Cochran, played by the late Dan O'Hellery, in a toy factory in Santa Mira, a name borrowed from Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1956. And the androids in it, well, yellow-blooded, but a victim at the start say to the petrol station owner, they're coming. Although Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, is a bloody good movie, down-to-earth science fiction, it's unlike any film ever made, but it's more of a thank you to Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1956. Halloween 3 is a bloody great movie.
How are you finding the convention so far?
Absolutely magnificent. I'm having the time of my life.
Are you enjoying asking questions to the guests?
Well, we're asking just a few, that's all. That's a couple. We've got one more to ask in this Doctor Who convention to Paul McGann later on.
Can you tell us what it will be?
About his future on Season 4 of Doctor Who in 2008, which is Doctor Who's 45th anniversary. I want to know about Paul McGann's future in a reunion story, possibly, should it ever go ahead, provided He meets the Daleks and the Cybermen alongside David Tennant. Paul McGann is Doctor Who because he's met the Master. But if he meets the Daleks and the Cybermen alongside David Tennant in a possible season 4 in 2008 during Doctor Who's 40th birthday, then Paul McGann, even if it is only one more time in a two-parter or a three-parter, then either way, if he does leave again, then Paul McGann, who's done two big stories, hopefully by then, decide.
If you got asked to reprise your number 8 role of Doctor Who in a two-parter or a three-parter, like a reunion story, provided you and hopefully them met the Daleks and the Cybermen, would you do so if you were asked by Russell T. Davies? Yes.
Hello. Do you mind if I take a few minutes of your time? We're doing a promotional interview for our website, and we wanted to hear what the bar staff here thought of this kind of crazy Doctor Who kind of things. What's your opinion on this?
Oh, it's been fun. It's been a good laugh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the most unusual person you've met so far?
You.
That one with the brown mask on, with the gun.
And did they actually speak to you or just grunt?
A bit of both, really.
Have you been here before when this has been on?
No.
This is your first time. Will you be happy to mingle with Doctor Who fans again in the future?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We're here to tell from other times we've been here that Doctor Who fans drink more than any other kind of people that come here. Is this true?
Yeah, definitely.
On that note, thanks very much.
Okay, then.
Cheers. Okay, I'm here with Gary Russell, who absolutely needs no introduction. We're on the sort of second day now of Dimensions. We're all getting a bit tired. My voice is starting to go. Too much talking's been going on. But, Gary, you've been here, I think, I've been here for the last 4 years and you've been at every convention. What is it about Dimensions that you like so much?
It's the people. It's the people. This sounds a horrible sort of southern thing to say, but it's the Northeast. It's travelling somewhere different, and there is a definite feel and a different atmosphere up here than there is to anything that happens down south. And as a boring southerner, it's just nice to come up to a different part of the country and meet different people, hear more interesting accents, and go shopping in the widest street in Europe.
It begs so many questions, doesn't it, that statement, the widest street in Europe?
It's
widest high street. Champs-Élysées, surely wider.
Well, it's just a bizarre thing to be proud of when all there is on either side of it is nightclubs and pound shops.
Have you been?
And a shoe zone. They've got a shoe zone here. How proud can you be of a shoe zone? That's just amazing.
Have you ventured to the Zanzibar yet?
I'm not a club person. I'm too scared of... As a non-drinker, I'm far too scared of nightclubs and things where people might beat me up for being a soft southern Jesse and things like that, which apparently they say to morons like me. So they might beat me up, and I don't want to be beaten up.
No, I mean, I think people who like clubs wouldn't go to the Zanzibar either, quite frankly.
Certainly, it is an amazing thing that and I don't say this just of the Zanzibar, any lawyers that are listening, but generally of the clubs you see in Stockton, that people seem to go in, and then 4.5 minutes later they come out and do one of two things, throw up, or are followed by the policeman in the yellow jacket. And that seems to be part of the ritual of nightclubbing here in Stockton.
We ran a sweepstake yesterday for the first outbreak of violence outside the Zanzibar, and I think it was 2:17 was the first outbreak.
Won by Paul, I seem to remember, who was very proud of the fact that he had predicted this.
But we donated the money to the Richard O'Sullivan Benevolent Fund.
Yeah, which basically meant that Paul took it to the bar and bought himself a drink.
Can I ask you, you talked about Dimensions, how much you liked it. I mean, did you come to the very first Dimensions when it was held, I think, in the centre of Newcastle?
I did. Dave Price's first one. I came up because it was somewhere different to go. I'd only ever been to a convention in the North East once before, which was in Durham, which hadn't been wonderful. So I thought it would be fun to come to a fun... And Dave Price seemed really nice, and he seemed very enthusiastic, and I always like helping enthusiastic people. And the Mad Fool said, please come up and I'll put you up in a room and I'll pay your train fare. Well, that's enough for me, really. I'm a media whore and I'll do anything that's going, really.
You heard it here first.
So back to those lawyers. I came up for the first one and I've been here ever since because I just love it.
Over the years you've been coming here, what was your kind of like the most memorable experience? You've obviously chaired quite a lot of things and done a lot of interviews rather well, I have to say.
Creep.
Any particular highlights?
You utter creep. You crawler.
We'll edit that.
Crawler, crawler, crawler.
He's talking about Neil.
I'm not. I suppose my favourite thing about ever coming to the convention is I've just interviewed some amazing people up here. People like Janet Fielding and Maureen O'Brien. I think I did hear for the first time both of those, and that was great. But actually, my greatest thing about coming up to Stockton is the restaurants that Stockton has. They are always an adventure. And every year, we try and go to a different one. We try a new one out. And one year, we found an absolutely amazing Indian restaurant here, which did the most superb food, but looked like it was built by Stanley Kubrick. And it had this real 60s sensibility. And they had this marvellous ability. It was a group of us. We were probably very embarrassing. There was a group of about 10 of us. So they put us in, you know, round the corner. And then they forgot about us. And we were sitting there watching other people coming in and getting fed and leaving. And we're going, we ordered hours ago. And we've had a couple of poppadoms, but, you know, where's the rest of the food? And we had to go and complain. And then they also had this brilliant thing, and I'm deliberately not naming them, partly because I can't remember who they are, and partly because they might have lawyers. But they also had this thing that if you paid by credit card, you know how most places you go, they bring the little machine to you. Yeah. No, they had a really old-fashioned swipe thing that you had to go and had to stand behind the counter where their till is and put your number in, because nothing was mobile. Everything was rooted to the spot. And you're suddenly standing behind the sort of till area of this restaurant thinking, I've got access to the till, because no one's come with you. They've said, can you go over there and put your number in? And
I'm help yourself.
Open the till, there's a few 20s in the back pocket. So yeah, I love coming for Stockton because it is a great place with a group of mates just to say, right, where should we explore tonight? Which restaurant should we go to and discover the exciting service?
Who's superstar Gary Russell in Slow Curry Trauma? The headline writes itself. Dimensions, I think we all agree we'll have a great time here. We were, Tacky on TV, the collective, were quite shocked by the attack on us by Colin Baker yesterday. And possibly, I think, it was a boot on the other foot for a change. Since we maybe were unwise to give Colin a copy of this. You've read the Tacky on TV fanzine, Gary. What's your opinion of it?
I think Colin was 100% justified in being very angry with you, and I think you brought it all on yourselves. And you should learn that some people you can take the piss out of, and some people, not a good idea when they're in the room. And, you know, Colin loves a bit of gentle ribbing and is less happy about people going on and on and on and on and on and on about how his era of Doctor Who is perceived as rubbish, which it wasn't. And so you deserve what you get. Ha!
Did you like it?
Of course I did. I didn't like the Colin Baker bits, obviously. It's absolutely true. When you asked me about this, I said, the moment I read it and I saw what you'd said about Colin, I thought, oh, I know someone who's not going to be happy about that. However, I do think the magazine's brilliant, and I think that the Mr. Sin sung to the lyrics of It's a Sin is simply the most inspired thing I've seen in a fanzine in decades.
It's our breakout pop single.
Yeah, Christmas number one, we're hoping for. That was Damon Quarry, of course.
Yeah, John's our singer.
You're going to sing it, are you, John?
Once my voice gets better.
No, you see, you're missing the point. I mean, Pet Shop Boys, you're taking it from. So actually, it's got to be someone who can't really sing.
Again, John.
Oh, that's right.
I'm just sitting here getting slagged
up. So it's not so much baritone, it's just, you know, crumbly paving stone. Yeah. It's that flat.
We'll change the pitch.
Shirley tells me I've got a fine baritone. Do you think if we went up to Eric Saywood and said, Eric, Colin really hates this, he'd accept it? At this point, anyway, the interview was terminated by the Tachyon lawyers.
It's a nice shade of puce in this room, isn't it? Thank you for the coat. Yes, no.
Gary Russell, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Graham, how did you feel it went with your question to Paul McGann today?
Good question, I asked. I hope that future will happen in 2008 for season four.
Were you pleased with the response?
Absolutely, yeah.
You got a round of applause?
Yeah, that's right, and I clapped as well.
Excellent. Did you enjoy the panel?
I did, thank you, yeah.
Are you in the queue now?
I am going to wait for Daphne Ashbrook. I'm going to get a solo autograph from Daphne Ashbrook, yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to ask me what my plans are for the future?
Yeah, what are your plans for the future?
Do you know what I'm looking forward to? Next June or July next year, Bruce Willis has a new film coming out. It's called Live Free or Die Hard. It's better known as Die Hard 4. And guess what the plot is? It's about an internet terrorist organisation that's systematically shutting down the United States and doing the hostage situation. As far as we know, as the script goes, their plan is shut down the whole of the world. Yeah, and that John McClane, played by Bruce Willis, is back as the lead star. Well, Bruce Willis is back as John McClane as the lead star for one more time next summer. Production started early September on a shoestring budget of $100 million.
What's it called again?
Live Free, like free of charge. Live Free or Die Hard.
I think...
Also known as Die Hard 4. And I've waited for Die Hard 4 since August 1995.
Also known as Die Hard 4 2007.
Yep, that's right.
So we're coming to the end of a fascinating convention at Stockton. Do we have any final thoughts, Damon?
I thought the standout moment for me was Sean's balloon dance in his Zygon costume at 8:30 this morning. Definitely made the entire weekend for me.
John, can you sum up the convention in a few words?
Or a noise?
Or a noise.
Sorry, I'm lapsing into Ogron.
You took the noise right out of my mouth. Has it been a good convention?
It's been fabulous. I'm just watching Paul McGann descend a spiral staircase. You know, what could be better than that? Apart from being Paul McGann.
So, Sean, hello. Where have you been?
I've been getting a couple of signatures off some of my favourite people in the world ever.
And who would they be?
Graham Harper. I asked him about John Paul.
Did you really?
He couldn't remember him.
Did you hear that? Graham Harper does not remember John Paul.
I had to say, he was in the close-up when they were in the street and everyone, all their ear pods went off. And he went, oh, you mean the fat blimp? I said, yes, that's the one. I saw Philip Hinchcliffe. He drained me of all my blood. And then signed my photo, which I thought was very nice of him to do it in that order.
Fishface, the end of the convention, sum it up in three words.
Slightly morally bankrupt.
Very good, very good. We'll ponder that. Okay, three words from Sean.
9:30.
Three words from Damon.
Colin Baker, disgrace.
Three words from John.
No way out.
Tacky on TV, it would be so much better if it was made in colour.